Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Rocket Mortgage. Confidence. Support for the Adam Carolla Show comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Why can't clients get approved in minutes, not weeks? Or make adjustments to their rate and term in real time? Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans answered those questions and more. It gives you the confidence to buy a home or refinance your existing loan. Fully understand all the details and be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. That's right. That's what Rocket Mortgage does. Whether you're looking to buy your first home or your 10th, with Rocket Mortgage, you get a transparent online process. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. What else do you need to know? And again, these guys support the show and are great sponsors. So, Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. To get started, just go to rocketmortgage.com/Adam. That's rocketmortgage.com/Adam.
Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, from I'm Sorry on True TV, Andrea Savage. With Gina Grad on News, Paul Bryan on Sound Effects, and a round of the Rotten Tomatoes game. And now, the one person today who can guarantee no Game of Thrones season finale spoilers, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on the George McGowan mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We do like the part where you listen and you share. That's what we count on. All right. Andrew Savage is coming in. I'm sorry. Very funny show. So we'll talk to her. She's a creator, star. And then there's Gina Grad. Good day.
Good day to you.
And Paul Bryan.
Nuts.
Okay. It can be a little frustrating to be me, but it can also be satisfying as well.
The duality of you.
Yeah. I had a moment yesterday where I showed up through the door. Now, there's something you guys should, there's a place you should hope to get to in life, but be careful when you get there. But you should still attempt to get there, all which right. is... I have a warehouse. We did a screening. We watched a McGregor fight there, and also it was a kind of work night thing on Saturday night. Now, it does not matter what your instructions are. If you own said warehouse, you will have to show up Sunday morning to lock stuff that's unlocked and shut off fart fans that have been left on and will continue to just be left on over the weekend. Mm-hmm. There is no real, you show up and everything's buttoned up. Some days better than others, but back door unlocked, a kitchen light on, yes. and fart fan needlessly running in bathroom. Sort of ironically, not with the light, which it makes me more angry. Yeah, so it's two switches, mm-hmm. one fart fan, one light, just the blank black emptiness of the commode in the shop, but just the fan's running, and I have to come back Sunday morning because it will continue to run then.
Yes, and a number of decrees can be made on Saturday night, but you're the last line of defense. It's your place.
Yeah, sadly. And so the thing that's interesting, and you guys tell me if you find that there's like way too much of this in life. Maybe if you travel to Germany, you'd find less of it. Maybe if you went to Jamaica, you'd find more of it. But I just feel like around here, just way too much. So I set up a little meeting with my guy Kelly. He just once a month folds out the table, massage table, stretches me all out, and it's
so you're like Pilates guy.
It's my Pilates guy. It's nice. Yeah, it's not that guy, but it's a good. So I said, well, do it Sunday morning because I'll have to go there, shut everything off anyway, which I did. The other thing I've gotten into with the warehouse is it's real quiet in the neighborhood on a Sunday. And what I always do is I always lock the front door because then I go into the back. And it's not a bad neighborhood, but people wandering around, you don't want someone to open the door and then see that no one's around and swipe someone's computer or it's worse industrial. Or whatever it is. So I always lock the front door. So I was getting stretched out, and in the other room, I was in the back, and Kelly was like bringing his workout table in there, and I had this thought, and this is why I need to kill myself. My thought was, I should go check the front door that he's locked it. And my next thought was, we've done this a bunch of times. I've gone and checked, or I've said something, and he's like, hey, I always lock it. And I'm like, that's right. Then my next thought was, you are going to be miserable if you have to go up and check everything every time for everybody. This guy locks the front door. Now just finish being stretched out and enjoy yourself. Right. And I went back to it a couple times, like my head, like, yeah, but I didn't lock the front door. Yeah, but he locks the front door and he knows it's supposed to be locked. And of course, I marked it with nail polish.
Sure.
The red on red, whatever. And I said, just let it go and relax. And then when we were done, front door was unlocked. And I said to him, you're pretty good at this, but you didn't get it this time. And he said, yeah, you usually remind me.
Aww.
It's weird.
Which is sad, but true.
But I usually remind him, but it is locked. Mm-hmm. So it's weird. But then I just realized a lot of this going on as an adult. And also, I don't know that I can ever not do this considering everyone's batting average. Mm-hmm. There, if the door, so the way we're wired, human beings are wired, is it doesn't have to be a coin toss as to whether you lock the door. All you have to do is do it once out of every 10 sessions, mm-hmm. and that'll be enough to have
to get
me
you.
Check every single time. And every single time I just show up there, shop, and I shut fans off, I shut lights off, and I lock doors from the night before. I'm amazed that it is that unachievable. Mm-hmm. And I'm now using the word unachievable because I've talked about it and asked and pleaded and what have
We're
you.
We're past the point of request.
Yeah, it's like I've made my peace with Rancid Nuts. Mm-hmm. It's a good band. It's not achievable for people to shut the container. Mm-hmm. The other, I'm moving on. Just make my peace. It's not an obtainable goal. I just walked into the other room and the big sack of coffee was open that now I'm taking home. But I guess it's been sitting on the table open for about a week.
Oh, that's
all right. I thought Max Pata wanted to take that. You don't want the you coffee drinker, Max Pata?
Oh, totally. But
he's a coffee eater.
I brought all the snacks for here.
Yeah.
I wasn't going to take that home.
But it's just sitting open on the conference table.
I did not put that there.
In case anybody wanted to grab a handful.
I've never entered that room.
Mm-hmm. I've been in the room. Okay. Yeah, I didn't put it there.
So, not achievable. Moving on. I get it.
Are you sad?
Maybe I'm going to start. No, I wanted to start a Jonestown-type colony with people that can shut lights off and lock doors.
Like-minded people.
And fold, you know, like when you eat a bag of Doritos, we'll fold it. And what I'll do is I'll get just try.
Just try to fold.
To fold.
The part about all this stuff that's insane to me is I never go, why didn't someone get the vacuum sealer out and do what was right with those chips? Or how come no one took the compressor and put it on reverse and sucked all the air out of it and then quickly snapped a chip clip? No, I'm like, why don't you just dump it on itself so it's not gaping, just sort of on itself folded over.
It's,
but
it's like how old was Molly when she passed away?
Oh, she's probably like 12 or 13 or something.
She'd had a good run and she had some health issues at the end. So maybe by the very end, you were like, this is very sad, but it's a long time coming and I'm at peace with this.
What are you saying, Brian? Yes.
What I'm saying is with all these things, it's a long time coming and it's been building up for many years. But, you know, at this point, I'm at peace with it. It is what it is and it's going this direction, circling the drain for many years.
Yep. I got to get to the vet. Yeah, I think there's a mobile service that does it now.
Put Maxipata down.
That's what I was saying. Is that clear?
Yeah. Yeah, he'd be, I don't know if they give breaks for medium-sized dogs. I feel like a large dog would cost more, like Vans at the car wash.
We cut to Adam with a thing of chocolate ice cream and Maxipata's licking. He's like, that's
it,
boy.
All you want, little buddy.
Go crazy.
All the fishtails you can eat.
So, I'm making my peace, but I think I will start that Jonestown. Have Matt look up land in French Guiana and see how much acreage is going for over there.
Oh,
it'll be a simple test. I'll just invite people over. I'll tell them that I'm thinking about them joining my cult, but I'll say it's going to be for car guys.
Oh,
you
got to
like cars. But that'll be a ruse. As in between, I'll say, we'll talk to you about your knowledge and love of automobiles. This is going to be, it's going to be an all car cult. Mm. In the meantime, enjoy some cool ranch Doritos and I'll just leave them on the table and then we'll go in the observation room.
Right.
We'll be up top, eye in the sky, like in a casino. And we'll be
hands go up
show the hand.
We'll be watching from up top.
The observatory.
Yeah, and we'll see when the guy helps himself if he flips it over or not, and then that'll be it.
Mm-hmm. This is a horrible thought, but instead of, you know, the Kool-Aid at the end, you just give out the rancid nuts.
I give out the rancid nuts. Eat them. God, that story. There are certain stories that if I was an adult, like when that story happened about, you know, 782 people committing suicide simultaneously and like some senator showing up and being gunned down on the tarmac and stuff, like my mind would have been blown. Yeah. Unfortunately, I'm living in a time of, you know, Cecil the Lion, killer bees that never really make port, and, you know, the occasional brother gets shot by the cop when they're wrestling with the gun, but nothing mind-numbing
this. Actual quantity scale.
This is a crazy story, that whole Jonestown story.
It's so hard to believe.
Shooting a journalist, yeah.
And, you know, let's give the devil his due. He got 700 people to kill themselves.
Wait.
I feel like I could get maybe a dozen, like Lynette and the kids, you know, if I keep harping.
Really?
But getting that many people to kill themselves.
Before we go much farther, I believe Kalen's probably the youngest person under this roof or at least close by. Hey, Kalen, can you explain Jonestown to us in your own words?
Oh,
what you know about it?
Sorry. I was just just catching up, running in here after crying out loud. Jonestown. I'm going to go on a guess and say that was the one with the cult at the Fruit Punch.
Yeah.
Where he got everyone to drink the Kool-Aid.
Getting
Or there's another cult one rattling around my brain where some people like tried to drown themselves in a short pool and they were getting people.
No. That was Sunny.
There was the one. Yeah.
You want, by the way,
get him a towel.
That drink the Kool-Aid, you know, Mark made. You know what I mean? Drinking the Kool-Aid.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, here's how you know you've arrived.
Oh, yeah.
You say it's a doozy because the Duesenberg brothers built the great car.
Ah, yes.
And so Mark left, drink the Kool-Aid. For me, it's Behyman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we all contribute.
Yes, to the idioms,
in
the colloquialisms. Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Right. How many people did he get to kill himself?
I think it was several hundred.
Several hundred. I thought it was like way over two.
To kill others, to kill the kids.
Oh, the kids. Yeah, I think any survivors.
Because there's audio of him saying, force them to drink it. Like, it's horrible. We watched a documentary on it. What about the Hail Bop guy?
Was that the Nike ones?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Didn't they drink also to have a
909.
A beverage?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Wow.
Horrible.
Insane. All right. We're getting right into it. Leah Remini, Scientology in the Aftermath, everybody.
Speaking of which.
Emmy-nominated groundbreaking doc series, Leah Remini, Scientology in the Aftermath, has returned for season two. New episodes Tuesdays, 9 o'clock, 8 central on A&E. Leah and high-level former Scientology executives and members delve into shocking stories of abuse, harassment, and heartbreak as well. This season, Leah continues her quest to give a voice to the victims of the Church of Scientology, helping people take action, turning survivors into fighters, revealing truths, and seeking justice. Love that about Leah Remini.
They were specifically on the news talking about how hot it's going to be this week and how it's just this unrelenting, punishing heat wave, and they specifically talked about Hemet. And I immediately thought about Leah and about
the Scientology headquarters.
And allegedly, keeping people in pits,
the hole
and in
or whatever.
RVs
and
the heat.
God, so much to unpack there. So catch up on the episodes if you didn't see the first season. A&E app, use the A&E app, or AETV.com. All right, so being right. So I walked through the door. I walked through the door yesterday with a bunch of extra ribs and brisket and baked beans and stuff like that from the Wood Ranch offerings, the barbecue place that Howie Mandel loves. I don't know why, but Howie Mandel loves Wood Ranch, and for some reason, he's a Jew who's eating barbecue, who's a germaphobe, so if he says he loves Wood Ranch...
It must cut through all that.
Right.
Yep.
These spare ribs are something else.
I
licking his fingers.
I brought them all home, and Lynette said... why'd you bring all the food home? We have enough food. Like, we have a ton of food here. And I said, because I'm tired of those fucks at the other shop turning their nose up when I say to them, hey, you guys like barbecue? We got a lot. And they're like, eh. And they just sort of keep walking. Sacrilege. And I'm like, I'm tired of that. I'm fucking tired of talking to those guys about all the free food that, again, this is my best argument for never been a better time to be poor. Because when I was poor, if there was something free and it was food or anything, it was that was a big deal. Yeah. And you can say, oh, well, TVs are pretty cheap now. And, you know, there's things that you can get that you couldn't get. You know, you could own a cell phone. Only doctors could have cell phones and stuff like that. And a cool car and all that kind of stuff. But the greatest yardstick to measure this is I got a bunch of poor guys over that other shop have no interest in free food or little to none. Now that's on the white collar side. The blue collar guys are fine. They're regular dudes. They're into it. So I made the announcement yesterday that I was bringing all this food home because I was tired of those fucks turning their nose up to it. Because when I make the offering, when I make the proclamation, hey, we had a lot of stuff left over from the barbecue or the whatever, you guys can help yourself. And they just, so at some point, I'd get into this, the heartbreak of this. So I'd go, we got almost a whole pecan pie left. Brian, you like pecan? No. And then I'd feel weird and bad, and then I would leave.
And I'll thank you to stop asking.
So I decided, fuck those guys.
It was 100th time.
But this time, I was at the fridge about a half hour ago, and there was one like Tupperware thing that I thought had rolls in it, but it had baked potatoes in it. It had like 4 or 5 baked potatoes. And they're on Vinny's no fly list, but they are good. And also, who doesn't like baked potatoes? So I found the one normal guy, James, who works there, and I pulled it out of the fridge, and I forgot my own rule. And I just literally turned around, and he was eating lunch. And the thing about when you're poor or anytime, whatever it is you're eating for lunch, baked potato is a perfect bed for it. You can just heat it up, put it on top. And when I was poor, it was always like baked potato and put the chili on top of it. Or just if there's extra meat sauce from the spaghetti, just dump it on the baked potato. It's the best. I turn around and I say, James, do you like baked potatoes? And he says, not particularly. What goes?
It's the most inoffensive foods.
If the boss man says it, how about you just go, yeah, I love some, and then not eat it or something. What is going on over there? Nobody likes anything.
Call his bluff.
Yeah, it's peer pressure from the other dudes. He'll be an outcast.
Yep.
You couldn't not like baked potatoes.
It's a very inoffensive
or care for them. But food or anyway, taste. Speaking of potato rape, can I say this? You guys tell me if this is going on. Like one of the many reasons no one should ever live in Los Angeles. We went out on Friday night to a nice restaurant with Lynette and the kids. And
it's her birthday weekend, yes?
Birthday weekend. And
potatoes galore.
I got a great au gratin potato. Oh, nothing better with the cheese on top and all the fat in between and everything. And I was wrapping up my steak on my plate and my au gratin potato, which at that point was a nice square that I'd eaten about half of. But there is about half the au gratin. Didn't look like much left. But the way I'm wired, A, I don't like to waste things, and B, I'm going to savor a big fat bite of that the next day. And so when they were collecting the plate, and I don't know how many times this has to happen, but I don't know what to do about it, where they start, they go, hey, you want us to wrap that up? And I go, could you bring the boxes out here? And they go, no.
You
want to
do it yourself.
I do the same thing.
I do, because they don't. When I say, just put everything on, just put it all on. We got it. And I'm like, but you don't want to be too weird about it. I'm going to be like Karen Carpenter and they're chasing him around, my hands flying in the air. Like
not that, but definitely that.
It's also, okay, cheap fuck, we heard you the first time, but it's not the money. It's, I'm never going to have another bite of this au gratin potato. And I kind of, if you told me you were going to throw it away, I'd finish it right here, but I'm full. But I want that bite tomorrow. Yep. But again, if you're going to chuck it, I'll eat it right now. But I don't know how to thoroughly convey this. And there's always a little language thing, because when you go back to the kitchen, it's all Hispanic and they're not going to really get whatever the au gratin infused message is. So I got to do the thing at the table where I'm going to bring it up because I can't not.
Yep.
But, and the worst part is I think they think they're doing you some service by not putting it all together somehow.
It's prettier.
Yeah, it's whatever. We packed up your steak. But I do the move where I go, just everything. And you can tell they're just thinking, well, just take the steak and the rest of the fettuccine or whatever the kids are eating. And then you do this move where you try to explain the motion to them. Just scrape what's on. Yeah. Just open the container and just take your forearm and just drag it along.
Turn the plate to 40, 45 degree angle.
Just go ahead and then just get the top of a hamburger bun and go ahead and mop it off real good there.
Ring
just
it out.
Buff it out. Just ring it out and throw the bun on top. Like, you're telling them to do it. And so the next day, I was like, I'm going to eat this steak. And I had this little moment of like, are those gratin potatoes?
Schrodinger's cat. Schrodinger's potatoes.
They're not there. This happens a lot. And I look, if it turned out that Herman ate them in the back, I would be completely and utterly fine. I just, they throw them away.
Yeah.
And I don't want that, but I don't know how to do this.
Can I say I have the exact same problem? And we were at a fancy restaurant a couple weeks ago at a brunch, and my friend didn't finish her food, and she had the same concern. And I said, I will handle this. And I looked at the guy, he was taking her plate, and I said, oh, no, you can leave it. Can we actually just have the box? And I stared him down until he relented.
I try, but sometimes they don't like people
at
nice restaurants.
No.
Well, some places are like, here's your box, knock yourself out. Other places are like, we got this back here.
Yeah. But that's not my problem.
I have an idea. Okay. You know my Beats by Ace bracelet?
Of course. Make sure you're not hemorrhaging.
Purple bracelet you put on when you order the Beats out. Yeah. So that night, we know when you're on the pot, you don't panic. And then I have my asparagus hat, so we know not to stand too close to you at the urinal.
That's for other people, mostly.
Asparagus. You know the stickers they use for the firemen when they put the pictures of the cat or the stickers of the cat so the guy knows that there are pets in there? I'm just going to have to travel with, like, little stickers of au gratin and little stickers of cows and little stickers of celery and stuff. And I'll peel them off and I'll put them on the plate and I'll go, this needs to come home.
Because half-eaten carrots.
Match this up.
They get separated. That's what happens is they get separated. All right, so that was my potato raping times two. Not only Friday night, but today. Max Pata, get ready by the mic there, because all right, in my my theme of what's wrong with us, or didn't you think adults were going to be smarter? And speaking of food, the quails, the greatest event ever. Chris ate 44.
Oysters.
Something
right? like that, yeah.
Yeah.
I blacked out after that. I don't remember.
Yeah. So,
iodine poisoning.
That is the best run event on the planet. The cars are impeccable. The food is amazing. The booze is incredible. The setting is unbelievable.
Oh, it's flawless.
And again, the tickets are, I think they're $750 a pop.
Ooh.
So, it's a very high-end ticket. And it's $750 a ticket, and they sell out every single year. You couldn't
get a lottery. They only do lottery for sales.
Right. You could not get a ticket. All right. So they do amazing events. They have the amazing event. They have luminaries there talking about the old days of racing the cars and this, that, and the other. And it's flawless. The event ended at 4:00 and it was time. And they got on the PA and they said, like, all right, you know, it's 4:00 now. The food starts shutting down and we're going to go. And I think Chris was forced to go into one of his reserve stomachs and bring up bile in order to sustain him for the walk to the car. Yeah. So he stores it away. Yeah, Filipinos have a third stomach.
Yeah.
Pull some of that cut up. And when we were leaving, they played, no, don't play yet, but they played, do you have the song? The Cyndi Lauper one?
You asked me for it.
Yes. All right. Hang on a second. I'll tell you guys first about On It, man. You've heard me talk about On It before. Amazing supplements like Alpha Brain, Buffalo Meat Warrior Bars, MCT Oil, all the good stuff. On It CEO Aubrey Marcus did a little take a knee with me, and we talked about going from a college athlete to running a multi-million dollar a year health brand and what it takes to abandon your dreams. I'll let you hear a little clip of that. What I'm trying to say to people, because we always do this, hey, you got to follow those dreams and you got to hang on to them. You got to shoot for the stars. You got to hang on to those dreams. Like I'm saying, no, you don't abandon those things. Just like you did in basketball, just like I did, believe it or not, in football, just like so many other, just like my son will do one day, he will abandon his dreams. And they filmed the whole thing. You can watch the entire podcast and behind the scenes mini doc and do it free at Onnit, onnit.com/Adam. Also, while you're there, you save 10% off your order. Try the Alpha Brain. Try the Warrior Bars. Try the MCT oil. Again, Dr. Drew swears by it. You just dump a little in your coffee before you leave in the morning, and it satiates. And you can watch it, take an episode free. Just go to onnit.com/Adam. onnit.com/Adam. So the most well-planned-out event in the universe, and when we were leaving, now it's like, all right, thank you for coming, ladies and gentlemen. We'll see you next year.
Yeah, nice. A British guy gets on the PA and thanks everybody for coming, for attending this wonderful event. Very classy.
Elegant,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, this song kicks in. Which is insane because it's weird thematically because the song is girls just want to have fun.
It's incongruous.
But, you know, play Closing Time by Semisonic or something. You know what I mean? Play one of those Turn Out the Lights, The Party's Over kind of Don Meredith songs.
Right.
But
The Loadout.
I don't know what this is. Yeah, I don't know why this is the song. First off, this crowd is 50, filled with caviar and cash. And loves Ferraris. Like, yeah.
This isn't up their alley.
It's not like this played at all during the event either.
No.
So
a recurring motif.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. So this, and it also, it's perfect for any classical or any Italian sounding operas or anything because that's the setting, all the Italian cars and everything. So this song's playing, and we're walking out, and we're all sort of marveling at why. And this says gather around and enjoy, not leave. But this is your skedaddle song.
This says bridesmaids on the floor. It's time to dance.
Right. Exactly.
Then
the best part is this goes just in hand in hand with Adam having to eat like the leftovers from the fridge or anything like that. Is he hears this song and he just sarcastically starts dancing with it just because he doesn't want to waste it.
Where's the footage?
So this song's playing, and then as we start getting down the road, walking to the car, this next song comes on, which I'm angry at, and you don't hear me spout about this song that much, but it's a really bad R&B song. It's really bad. And in a world filled with the OJs and the Spinners and Earth, Wind, and Fire, this song sucks! But this is the next song. Get down on it. I like to talk to Chris about this because he's a musician guy who agrees. It's not really a song. No, it's just this.
It doesn't really progress.
It doesn't do anywhere. Anything.
Your criticism of the Bruno Mars song that everyone else likes is very valid for this song.
Yes.
It just kind of goes around.
Yeah, well.
Come back later, it'll be the same thing in 2.5 minutes.
Yeah, and, well, you know what's bad? Because the song goes, get down on it, get down on it, get down, get down on it. Like, you just said the same thing. We were walking out, and I was ripped shit
now. You're not happy, dude.
This song sucks. Also, you're trying to get people to leave. Maybe they're smart with this one, but why are you playing this song when the event is over?
Yeah, they must have hit the wrong playlist or something.
This is the Get It Going playlist.
Yeah, exactly.
This kind of puts a damper on things.
This is the last playlist thing
you hear.
The song doesn't get credit for sucking as badly as it does.
Well, everybody knows it. But nobody would ever, you wouldn't ever put this in your CD player and listen to it on a drive.
I guarantee every wedding DJ has this in his arsenal, though.
Absolutely.
And this song blows ass.
Yeah.
Gary, this song is Do Not Playlist. Gary's getting married soon.
Fine. Get your back up. God, this song sucks. And you know, I've heard this song thousands of times. I don't like that we've crafted that society. But this song blows ass. I've heard the song. There are OJ songs and Spinner songs, which I've heard way less and are so much goddamn better.
I like going with Earth, Wind, and Fire.
I like them, too.
Let's hear a little more. This is the Cool Gang.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe Miss Girls Just Want to Have Fun. I actually like that song.
I know. That's a great song.
Yeah.
Hey, what's the name of this song again?
it's all stuck in my tongue.
Come to me.
It's so bad. I think they just went. This is like, you know what? This is what black folk went. It's going to be a bunch of white people dancing at a wedding. Like, it's like when you drop food and then you have to pretend to your dog like you're giving it to him. Like you did it on purpose. I think they just went, let's give white people some horrible, horrible music to ruin their weddings that we'll never listen to. Like, black people can't listen to this music.
Yeah, it's just four bars and then they just copy and pasted it throughout the whole entire, like, for 4 minutes.
Also, it's one of those it will never end songs. Yeah. It doesn't have an ending. It's just like,
here's the big
just
flourish.
Fade it out. Yeah.
Get down. I was so angry walking out of that car.
This is stuck in my head all day, too.
It's horrible. All right. It is does not get credit for being as shitty as it is. It's Cool in the Gang. Get down on.
Yeah, terrible goodbye song.
So that and Jungle Boogie, is that their claim to fame?
No, Celebration is their biggest.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. It's another horrible song.
My Do Not Playlist.
I hate Cool in the Gang, as it turns out. All right, they were like on commercials, like Bud Light commercials or let's see, what they did. Yeah, I think they were like, they broke through to like Miller Lite commercials and stuff. Like they did stuff back in the days. All right, we got the Rotten Tomatoes game to play.
Oh, we did.
Right?
Yeah.
I haven't played in a long time, so we should do that. I'm going to turn the air on. You play the beginning.
Oh, you want to play the thing? Okay, hold on.
Yeah, go ahead.
Archie! He names the flicks and the gang makes flicks mad Archie! He's a schlubby guy and when he drops by the gang has to guess. Do the critics score spanking, rotten or fresh? Archie!
You know the worst part about a song like Get Down on It? And this is why I...
The guy who hates it insists on everyone hearing it?
Yes. This is why I blame the program directors. I guarantee if you're sitting at a table at a wedding and that song came up and the people had 10 people at the table, four of them would go, oh, I like this song. Mm-hmm. But they don't like this
they
song.
They know it.
It's
they
familiar,
know it.
Yeah.
And can we please make a distinction between things you know, like the bubonic plague,
yeah. Stop
and
signs.
Things that's good, yeah. That you want. They can't do it. It's weird. It can't be done with music. People can't do it with music. And then I realize, oh, that's what kids do. Mm-hmm. And that's who you're dealing with at your table.
Yep.
You're dealing with adult kids.
Yeah, right. I thought of Sunny. You must have seen this before. Or maybe it's been tweeted to you. It's all over Facebook. When they have little kids listening to, you know, Queen, Guns N' Roses, you know, AC/DC for the first time and getting their fresh eyes and fresh opinion.
Mm-hmm.
It always reminds me of Sunny because when it's good, it's good. When it's bad, it's bad. They don't like it either.
Right. But the dumb ones, if it's played enough, will start to do it. And that's how they test music. Mm-hmm. When they test music, they get a bunch of the three dumb people at the wedding table, or the four dumb people, they will play Get Down on It, and they'll start turning the knob to the right because they know, oh, yeah, this one.
Oh, this song,
I have heard
yeah.
this before.
Right. Tool tune, Brian.
What about it?
Queensryche, When I See You Smile.
Oh, I was about to say no, just based on Queensryche, When I See You Smile. It's sort of a power ballad. Yeah, I think that counts.
Sort of a power ballad.
That definitely counts.
Yeah.
Not as celebrated as some of the other ones of the era, but yeah, that counts.
Is that John... is that what's his name from The Babies? I'm looking at Dawson.
Oh, John Waite?
Yeah, is that John Waite?
For the Queensryche song?
I don't think so.
He wasn't. Sounds
metal?
Like him.
Weren't they Silent Lucidity? Isn't that Queensryche?
That's not my sweet spot.
I have no idea.
All right.
Sounds like John.
John Waite.
I tell you what is a Tool tune? Is a Cyndi Lauper song? It was out of place where you heard it.
Yes.
But that's.
I'm fine with that.
I got a pretty good mashup with a Tool tune coming up for you.
Oh,
I like it.
I was at a dinner with John Waite where he had to be removed.
Wait a second.
I like this story. What happened
there? Wait, Mark Thompson and John Waite are like BFFs, and they like to drink together. So I can't wait to hear this.
Well. I don't want to burst Mark's bubble, but he likes to drink with
a lot of
pinatas. He likes to drink with furniture. John Waite likes to drink with end tables. Like he doesn't need a DJ to drink with.
Why isn't he another person? Okay, I didn't
realize that. You had me with he likes to drink. You don't have to go with. He likes to drink with lighting fixtures, John Waite does.
That just struck me. How many people out there, just in the world, celebrities or not, do people think is their drinking buddy? But they're everyone's drinking. You know what I mean? How many,
tell Mark he's everyone's drinking buddy.
A handful of people who have just multiple drinking buddies.
What became Amalfi, what became my restaurant. Yeah. We were there when it was another Italian place a million years ago, just having dinner with record label guys. And like him,
okay,
and some more record A&R guys, and a gal, God, I'll never summon her name. She's a young starlet, music teeny bopper on the scene on Loveline a million, kajillion years ago. Giovanni might figure it out. She was hot for a while. I don't know where she went. Anyway, he's there, and he's drinking, and I'm not really drinking too much because we'd do these events where we'd meet these guys. You know, Drew and I used to like go to have Armenian food with System of a Down at like 8 o'clock at night in Glendale, and then we'd go to Loveline at 9:30. Yeah. So, and people should check out The Babies, by the way, which is the band he was in for this, or solo. And he's getting drunk, and I'm probably just drinking a glass of wine, and he started, he knew it was me from MTV or whatever, and he started to kind of bug me, and I was a big Babies fan. I love that band, and The Babies have some really, I had the best of The Babies CD when I was, you know, 25 years old.
Yeah. Most people don't know this song's about Mark Thompson.
Where are you?
You jag off.
And it was like the kind of thing where he's like, he, you know, I think he's English, and he's like, I see on MTV, what's that like, you know, whatever. And it was, I have endless tolerance for drunk people, but at a certain point, he just kept going, and it was getting pretty disruptive, and the record labels were trying to court me a little bit to put their starlet or something on Loveline or whatever it was, and he just kept going, and they kept telling him, like, hey, John, sit down, back off a little bit, like, just stay in your seat, would you please? And we were eating, and he was, like, getting up and walking over to me and stuff. And at a certain point, they just walked him out. Like, they just said, you got to leave.
Oh, my God. Do you think he has any memory of that?
I'm going to go with no.
Well, he's booking on tomorrow's show.
So perfect. But some blank tape.
I wasn't bothered by it. I was more embarrassed that he had to leave, but he had to leave. I mean, that was a dinner where he had to leave.
So Corolla bought the restaurant, let John Waite back
That's
in.
That's right. That's right. All right. We got the game to play. First, let me tell you about MyBookie. Ah, when you're betting, it's not, it's important. You want to be betting on the right spot. Go to mybookie.ag. They've been in the business for years. Their reputation is rock solid. 100% cash bonuses and the fastest payouts. Just 2 business days. In-game, live betting. This live betting, by the way, is offered a whole, I mean,
it has changed my gambling habits.
We're watching football this year, but we're watching the McGregor fight, and it's like, now, here's what it is after round 6. Mm-hmm. The most rewarding player perks in the business, and all new mobile site makes wagering on the go a breeze. So join now, and MyBookie, join now, and MyBookie will match your deposit with up to 100% bonus. Use promo code Adam to activate the offer. Visit mybookie.ag today. You play. You win, you get paid, man. All right, we got it, Dawson?
Yeah, you ready for the game?
I'm ready for the game.
Here we go. It's all about fight movies. Our first one from 1999 took place in 1966, where Reuben Hurricane Carter was the top-ranked middleweight boxer. And he was framed for murder, and Bob Dylan wrote a song. Denzel Washington stars as the dude in The Hurricane.
Yeah.
Michael Mann in the theater. Totally off on that? I think I am.
Doesn't look like a Michael Mann movie.
It's probably
Michael
not.
Mann movies always look like Michael Mann movies.
I also never saw this.
I remember it was super long.
It was, I think it was pretty good, but maybe not great. And
Norman juice in it.
Director of Moonstruck.
Not Jewish, by the way.
It always bothered me that the real Reuben Hurricane Carter was kind of a douche to the guys who worked really hard to get him out. Like, there were a bunch of law students or something went to work to go. Oh, wow. And I saw, like, real footage of him with those guys. And he was kind of a douche. Like, he didn't thank him very much or anything. And I thought, I don't like that guy. These guys, like, busted. Like, he was in
of
for
their own accord.
X amount of years. And these guys just doubled back and made a pro bono project out of it and got him out of there. And he never did seem that
grateful.
It's weird. They're the guys that get locked up for 40 years for murder they didn't commit, who don't seem very pissed at the system.
Right.
And then they're the guys who get exonerated after being in the hole for 15 years and don't seem that appreciative of the guys who got them out. There's a lot of range in terms of how you act when you're wrongfully accused and then sprung. All right. This is kind of a cause celebre kind of thing in the Dylan song and everything. And I think Denzel got nominated. I think. So I'm going to say 83.
Oh.
I'm going a little lower, 74.
I also said 74.
Somebody's on the money. The hurricane is certified fresh at 83%.
Yeah.
Oh, damn it.
People had it at 87.
There you go.
I was very happy. I just thought of this juxtaposition. Sonny watched entire Rocky 3 when he went and fought Drago. Was that 3 or 4? Yeah, he watched entire 4.
3 was Clubber Lang.
Very excited about watching Drago. So he watched 4. And at the then when he was done watching Rocky 4 yesterday, he got into his swim trunks and him and Natalia hit the swimming pool. And at a certain point, because Sonny has to wear goggles in the pool, at some point, Natalia jumped on his head, pulled his goggles back, and slingshotted him, just like snapped him with his goggles. Sonny was devastated, went into the house, went into some sort of funk that took like 2 hours to get him out of it, was pissed. Claimed he'd lost use of his left eye and was like, but I never put the two events together, which is him just watching Drago and Stallone attempt to kill themselves in the ring.
Turn into a mountain man and climb up literally.
And then he had his sister snap him, slingshot him with his googles, and he was out of commission.
Grit.
Pass it on, man. It's what's for dinner.
So good.
All right, here we go.
All right, next up, our main character is a high school senior with a fiery temper. She wants to learn how to fight, but daddy's having none of it. And the 2000 movie starring Michelle Rodriguez and Santiago Douglas, Girl Fight.
Never saw this.
I never saw it either. I sometimes movies have a theme that the critics like. Like, I remember this thematically. It was like, hey, girls out getting some. Showing they can, you know, and right. It was kind of
doing it for themselves.
But I'm not sure. It always made me think, like, I don't think I'm going to enjoy it. I feel like the theme feels good
right.
to the critics. But I don't know if it's really that good. So let's see. But I heard it was pretty good.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to say... I'm going to say that the critics like the idea of the girl duking it out, the other girls. So I'm going to tack on a point or two and say maybe the critics liked it more than the people. And for that, I give it an 87.
79.
Yeah, I went with your logic and I said 89.
Whew. Girl Fight, certified fresh at 87.
Whoa!
Damn it. Went on again?
Yeah.
Has this ever happened before?
Wow!
And the people have it at 74.
Hey, man, I don't even care if I lose. That's when someone scoring single digits for once. That'd be damn impressive.
Next up.
Is that up at minus 10?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Next up, the robots are doing the fighting.
Now we're talking.
Hugh Jackman is a washed-up fighter, but he's going to get his title back in an 8-foot tall steel robot. In 2011's Real Steel.
You must have seen this.
I've seen bits and pieces of it.
This is the sunniest movie ever made. This movie's made for Sonny Corolla.
All right. Now, this
they're in the future and fighting's
like Rock'em Sock'em Robots?
Kind of. They're in the future. Fighting's been outlawed because, you know, concussions and all that stuff or whatever reason. But they have these giant robots, these lifelike robots that are like avatars, like they
like
move
proxies,
with you.
Yeah.
So you're on the side of the ring making the boxing moves, and the robots are the ones duking it out in the ring.
I like it.
And like he uncovers like a junked robot, and he rehabs it. It's a
romance.
It is a romance.
Well, now, so here's my problem. This seems like an insane movie, but I think it was actually pretty good, and I think people liked it. But it's also one of those critical movies, which is weird. Like
tons of critical acclaim.
It could be. This is a movie that critically could be. It could be in the 80s and it could be in the 50s. Like, I just don't know with this movie.
Do you really think this could be in the 80s?
I wouldn't.
Are you just psyching us out?
No, I'm saying could because I saw bits and pieces of the movie and it was well done. And I remember like when it came out, people going, oh, no, it's good. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it's a stupid premise or Rock'em Sock'em Robots thing. But I think the critics liked it. I just going to go 62.
This is a good movie. I like this movie. I think it might be a Disney movie. It's got a very Disney feel to it. Underdog story, fun, much better than it should have been. I said 71.
Okay, I probably just took myself out of the game. I can't imagine the critics would be super excited about standing and being counted on this one. I said 49.
Real Seal is rotten.
Oh,
good.
At 59.
Oh, wow. That's as good a rotten as 60 is the over under on the rotten. So I did 62. So I'm still in the minus points here.
Don't listen to these people. It's a good movie.
People see. But let me just explain. And this is why I've mastered the game and why these are just formalities that we actually play.
62?
Yeah.
You have minus 7 points?
I'm usually somewhere around minus five, minus seven about now.
Has anyone ever won with negative?
No one's ever won with single digits.
That can't happen. But I don't think anyone's got single digits.
That's correct.
Here's why I've mastered this sport.
Sport.
I knew the girl fight had the critics higher and the people lower because this is a perfect back-to-back juxtaposition. Girl fight. Audience on this one, 73. Audience on Girl Fight, 74. So it's ostensibly the same. The audience liked the same. Mm-hmm. The difference between 87 and 59 is the difference between Michelle Rodriguez living in the barrio and fighting, breaking down stereotypes and stupid robots.
Yeah, in the future.
In the future. And that's, am I right?
Yep. You're probably right.
So this is the part of the critiquing that I don't like. I don't want you to factor in this guy or what color everyone's eyes are or what the sport is. I want you to factor in whether it's a good movie or not.
Real Steel is fun.
And the people see it exactly the same as you do and the same see as Girl Fight. But it goes from 87 down to 59. Just critics worth their salt don't want to go, I like the robot movie. Mm-hmm. They don't want to do that.
I might be predisposed to giant robots fighting each other. I could see that, but this is a good movie.
Now, this will be, ooh, now the real question.
Top
critics should have liked it less, and in Girl Fight, top critics should have liked it more. Mm. So now we have to figure that one out. But go ahead and look that up. And, not necessarily a bigger chasm, but just if I'm right in the critic trajectory, whatever direction it usually means. All right. I'm in the minus.
You really are.
Our guest is here. We got to pack it up. That's it. Let's just end it now.
It's like rain in the seventh inning.
Yeah.
Real Steel is at 57 for top critics.
All right. Lower. That's my prediction.
And Girl Fight is 1% higher, 88.
So I'm still, I knew what direction each top critic would go, right?
You did?
Because they go, oh, I'm a top critic, so I hate the robot movie even more.
You and Sonny should watch Real Steel. That's a fun movie for you guys.
I shall. But what if Natalia gives him a wedgie or snaps his underpants or something in the middle of it? He's down.
Yeah, you take that risk. You have to play a fire.
All right, go ahead.
All right, next up is an MMA movie starring Tom Hardy and Joel Edgerton. Where the guy's got to go compete in Sparta, the biggest MMA event in all of history, where he has to fight his brother, 2011's Warrior.
Oh, I saw this.
Tom Hardy.
I believe Nick Nolte got an Oscar nomination.
Nick Nolte. Yeah.
It's the first thing I ever saw Joel Edgerton.
I never. Which one's Joel?
Joel Edgerton. You reckon he recognizes him for sure. Yeah. He's a very recognizable actor.
All right. Boy.
I believe so.
Good, as powerful and unforgettable as Rocky, fiercely moving.
Nick Nolte did get a nomination, you're right.
Nick Nolte gets a nomination. Jesus. Violent. I don't know. Sometimes the critics don't like a lot of violence, even if it's good.
Did Gary say, I forgot if I heard, they're brothers in this?
Yeah,
correct. The dad and
Nick Nolte plays the dad, yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
They liked it? At 85.
Yeah, this movie's aight. At 80.
Oh.
Again, using your logic, it's kind of one of those meaty, gritty stories. I said 90.
Warrior is certified fresh.
Oh, man.
At 82.
Dude, ooh. You're at minus four?
Three or four?
God.
Okay, our last movie is...
I'm rooting for you, man. I don't want to win this game anymore.
Wesley Snipes and Ving Rhames.
Are you guys playing?
Once promising heavyweight contender is now convicted of murder and sentenced to life without parole at Sweetwater Maximum Security Prison in California. The movie is 2002's Undisputed.
Never heard of it.
Oh, I've seen pieces of this.
Waterloo.
This is tough.
You don't have a read on this movie.
It's bad, I think. But
has a helicopter on the post.
We don't
12 bad. Or
yeah,
is it 33 bad.
The problem with this is we don't know if it's we don't know if this is 41 or 9. It's tough. I never really heard anything about it. I've seen little bits and pieces of this. Gonna give a couple points. Got the brothers. It's in prison. I think in a weird way. Well, you got to take your themes.
Yeah.
Like I've always said it to kind of depends. Like if you do, you pick a subject like you know Al Gore is going to make a movie about the environment. You probably have folks that are thinking along those lines who are critiquing. So you might, if you're looking for that, you got to think, okay, that's a theme, and that's a theme that the critics are kind of down with. And, Supersize Me or something like that. Most of those critics aren't big McDonald defenders. Right. So you could make one called Walmart is Evil. And as long as you 100. Weren't being like ironic, you'd get 100%.
Yep.
Yeah. Walmart is changing the climate.
Oh,
I just got 100% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Right.
All right.
By the way, speaking of Gina, there's two pull quotes at the bottom of this poster that we're looking at.
Yeah.
One says, right on target.
Yeah.
And you see the quotes with an attribution underneath.
Yep.
The other one, a smart action movie. 2 exclamation points. No quotes.
Attribution.
No attribution. That's just them throwing that on there, hoping that you're going to think it's a quote.
That is a good eye, Brian.
By the way,
action movie.
Great eye.
Right on target is like you're describing yourself and you were featured in My 600-Pound Life, and you're now down to 450, and the doctor said right on target when you weighed in.
Yep.
After you had your bariatric surgery.
I've lost some weight.
But doesn't mean we want to see you in a bathing suit or date you. Okay. So right on target very euphemistic for a review. I gotta hate it. I've never felt this kind of pressure in my adult life. I'm going to say 27.
Ooh. I said 0.
I said 18.
Oh, Undisputed is rotten.
Yeah.
48.
Oh!
Percent. The Ace Man had a chance to finish in the negative.
Had a chance there. Wow. Almost 50%.
I think you still won a dominating victory. But,
yeah,
oh,
but that
been.
Would have been so
what
sick.
What could have been?
Was I 4 into the minus going into that?
I think 5, maybe. Yeah. Bald Brian. We know you didn't win this game.
Close.
Did you beat Gina Grad? Oh, and that answer is yes.
Damn it.
You got 31, Gina got 59, and the Ace Man ripping away the lead. Probably the best score we've ever had in this game. We'll give it that to you. 17.
I would have single digits would have been a real feather in my cap. And boy, the kids would have gone insane when I got home and tell them about Lynette be out of her mind.
What if the news leaked and they had a surprise for you when you got home? Streamers and banners. just couldn't wait, Dad.
Rotten or fresh?
It's a weird era I'm living in, or weird home, because I can be doing like Kimmel that night. Mm-hmm. We won't watch it. You think it'd be weird. Like, you think the kids would be like, oh, I want to see Dad with Uncle Jimmy. No, it's fine. All right.
Compare that to the kids in Rocky IV when they're watching the fight and they're like boxing along with it on Christmas, yep. Christmas night.
Yes, yes, and yes. All right. Let's see. I'm just going to blow our Andreas here. Good. Let me just blow through a couple calls here. John, 50, Philadelphia.
John.
John.
Yes.
You there?
Yeah. Yes, I'm there. Hi, Adam.
What's going on?
Actually, honey, one thing before I get to why I called, you know, Jim Jones used Flavor Aid. Too cheap for Kool-Aid.
Oh, really? Yeah, I think my mom would have done that. Like, she was going to massacre people in her cult. Like,
drink
she would have gone, like, have a Hydrox. Yeah.
You can only get so much in Papua New Guinea.
Right. Yes. You have a question, John? No, or comment?
Well, no, I actually had a game. It was called the Year Game, where I have a few events. You have to guess which year it happened in.
All right.
Give us the first couple events.
Okay, first one is, you're the first car phone.
Car phone. Commercially available, you can get it inside your car?
Yes.
It's not the president.
Yeah, not like you'd be shocked to know it was 1912.
Yeah. I mean, were you, if you had enough money, if you were Dan Tana, if you're Robert Urich and you could afford a phone and live in Vegas and put a big antenna on your car, mm-hmm. but you could have a phone.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. Do you want to guess the year?
Yeah, 19. Oh, there. Probably in weird car. This one's tough because it'll go back to like 1949, and you go Hubert Humphrey. Had
no,
one in his.
Yeah, I think he means like when we would all
have access to it. Yeah.
I feel like we're gonna get angry at him.
Probably,
but we could all get this kit and put it in our car if we want it.
Yes. If you could afford it, was available in one city, in St. Louis. I'll give you, not that that'll help you guess the year, but
that
help. Oh, okay.
St. Louis, the Ooh. First city it was available in.
Bob Casas, a young Bob Casas, was the first man to ever.
Right. Bob Gibson.
1969.
Oh, I say 79.
Yeah, I said 81. I should have gone earlier, I think.
Actually, 1946. It cost 15 per month. 30 to 40 cents for a local call, and it weighed 80 pounds.
You're right, I'm angry.
And it was like a CB where you had a.
Thank you, but see, the problem is only in St. Louis, which screwed us.
When I thought we had established that it was commercially
That's
available.
That's why I said you're going to be mad at John.
Yeah.
And right. This is not going to work out. And it's going to be much earlier than you thought.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, John. I'm not mad at you. I just said we're going to be mad at you.
Burn in hell.
Frank, 51, Houston. Oh, Frank in Houston. That's right. What's going on in Houston?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
Five guys tweeted for can help for the.
Oh man, phone's bad.
Any questions?
Wonder why.
Oh boy, Frank.
How you doing, Frank?
How you doing?
What part of the city are you in?
I'm the luckiest guy in town. All I've done.
All right, hold on a second, Frank. Frank, when you see some old woman sitting on a pallet. Paddling by with her cat on her lap, saying she wasn't able to save the other three cats, and she's crying hysterically. You explain to her that with the last question of the Rotten Tomatoes game, I was up 4 to 5 points,
-4 points,
and that I got completely screwed on that Snipes prison movie.
Undisputed.
And if you think you were jobbed, well, how about you put yourself into my shoes?
God's been cruel to all of us today.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
You know what? I think I'm going to hang up and think about that and call back tomorrow, Adam, but you may be right.
Come on. Look, we've all suffered loss, and we continue to suffer losses. And I'm not saying what you're going through is as bad as what I'm going through right now, but we all experience loss.
But yours is cute.
Where are you? Where's the water? What's going on?
So I'm in the northwest of in a town called Cypress. Mm-hmm. My neighborhood is fine. We're kind of high. I can get to the freeway if I need to get north, but I can't get anywhere else.
Right.
Everything, if you look at a map, everything south of I-10, that's going to be done for a month.
Do you, Frank, what do you do for work?
I'm a program manager, scope, schedule, resources.
Do you guys share this, and maybe it's my horrible student coming through in me, but every once every 10 years, there's an earthquake or something around here, or there's some traumatic event or something insane, 9/11 or something like that. And there's a part of you that's a little relieved, like, oh, we're going to get off this Ferris wheel for a second and sort of think about other things.
Sort of reset ourselves and it's just, reprioritize.
You'll say hi to your neighbors. No one's rushing to get to work or catch a flight or just whatever. You pull the plug on your craziness and or whatever the habitualness is.
Your self-involvement.
Yeah, yeah.
I will agree with you, but as someone who lived in the Bay Area and I've been here 15 years, it's a different mindset, guys. People in Texas are like that most of the time anyway.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Midwest, too.
Yeah. God, Bay Area to Houston.
Reprioritize you.
Yeah, yeah. And it's a weird thing, but there's almost a thankfulness for it. Like, it's almost like I would never impose this on myself. But now everyone's just going to start, we're going to talk about this one thing. We're not going to talk about all the stupid window dressing of whatever Trump said next or last or what happened over here or whatever microaggressions going on. Like, all the nonsense stories go away. Mm-hmm. Not that they didn't happen stories, but just stories that
make a difference ultimately.
No, they really don't. So it's just, we all get to sort of focus on something and it kind of, you can't go to work because the roads are closed or whatever it is. And you just have to kind of hunker down. And it kind of, I don't know, it's like you end up camping at your house.
Well, that, and even if you want to take it a step further, people are rushing in of all colors, all ages to help as opposed to trying to get out of the situation.
Yeah.
They're showing all these news clips of this gentleman, African-American guy who has a boat. And they're going, where are you going? Hopefully to save some people.
Yep.
Just people are trying to get in and all that stuff doesn't matter right now.
And it's great too for the dude and his relationship with his old lady because he probably bought that bass boat 9 years ago, used it 3 times, is still making payments on it.
I told you not to do that.
26% interest, yeah. And she's pissed, but all you have to do is fire it up for one big storm and go throw a couple of old biddies onto that thing, and the old lady can never open her trap ever again.
You're a hero.
Yep, and there's nothing she can say about it, and there's you never have to take that boat back. All right, one more, and then we'll bring Andrea in. Hey, David, 31, Minneapolis.
Hey, you nice man. Get it on.
Get it on, man. What's going on?
So I drive a stick shift, and I think partially because I know fewer and fewer people who do drive a stick. I try to, make the most of it and use it for all of its capabilities. So, for instance, I don't think speed shifting is a word, but, lining up the RPMs when you're upshifting.
You line them up when you're downshifting, but, yeah, rev matching.
Thank you. Or then when I'm getting off a highway exit or I see a red light coming up, I try to only use brake when I'm coming to a full stop, but I'm kind of got that cold trickle syndrome going on. I know how the car, I can drive it. I know very little about how it works.
Yeah, Cole didn't know anything about how the car, so he just knows how to drive. Didn't know anything about how to set up
the question, car. And I heard conflicting conclusions on whether or not gear braking is in fact bad for the engine. I'm not talking about winding it out to 6,000
RPM. Yeah, no, use the gears to slow the car down. It's a good thing. If you drive properly, a stick shift, you can make the clutch last for an incredibly long time, and if you can make the brakes last for an incredibly long time, everything will last for an incredibly long time if you drive and downshift and upshift and do everything properly. All right, no one cares. Andrew Savage is here. The TV show is super funny. I'm sorry. You also know her from Veep and Step Brothers. I was just watching that the other day. It's a funny movie. I'll tell you first about Simply Safe. You take precautions every day. You got a case for your phone. You downshift when you're coming into the red light. You have identity theft protection. How about the home? How about the family, man? Simply Safe. No hassle. Just order it online. Completely wireless. comes pre-programmed to work right out of the box. Install it yourself in under an hour. No activation fees, no holes in the wall, no exposed wires. I did it. Mike August did it. Dawson did it. We all have it. Round-the-clock professional monitoring with emergency dispatch. Only $14.99 with no long-term lock-in contracts. So go to Simply Safe Adam, S-I-M-P-L-I, simplysafeadam.com. Get 10% off when you order today. Peel and stick, super easy, and best yet, no weirdo alarm guys crawling around your house. SimplySafeAdam.com and get the 10% off. Andrea Savage, very funny, is out there. I'm sorry, the name of the show on True TV, and we'll bring her in right after this.
Here at Podcast One, we love hearing from you. We read every tweet and comment you send our way. So don't miss your chance to take our summer listener survey. Just go to podcastone.com and click on the survey banner. Or go to podcastone.com/my survey. It only takes a few minutes, and it gives you the opportunity to make a direct impact on your favorite shows. Tell us how you really feel so we can get to know you better. We value your thoughts and participation. So check out the survey at podcastone.com/my survey. Or click on the survey banner on podcastone.com.
It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Ace Man, when I win the lottery, I promise I will donate $1 million. That's just a jumping off point to the Corolla 2020 campaign, presidential campaign. And next time the patent trolls come around or whatever the next problem is for your GoFundMe, $1 million right off the bat. You post it, I pay.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
All right, and if I ever have to sue Ford, who makes automobiles, and get a decision more than $10 kajillion, I'll give it back. I don't like that, though. Andrea Savage here. I'm sorry, the name of the show. Wednesday, 10 p.m. on True TV. Very funny. Go to the website, truetv.com, for full episodes, clips, and more. Good to see you, Andrea.
Thanks for having me. Good to be here.
You grew up in Woodland Hills, huh?
I'm a Valley girl, through and through.
I grew up in North Hollywood.
Oh, I'm aware.
There's only
your legend reaches far and wide.
There's only a handful.
You're not quiet about it.
There's only, well, when you're from the garden spot of the universe,
the gem of the valley.
Yeah. The first off, it's too hot to live in the valley anymore.
And Woodland Hills, by the way, I am out of the valley recently. Actually, I was in Hollywood, then back in the hill of the valley, and then now out.
Right.
But Woodland Hills is, I think, technically the hottest part of the valley as well.
Woodland Hills can get, when you think it's hot in Glendale, add on 6 degrees for Woodland Hills. So
100%.
If it's 102 here, it's 108 there. 100%. And the thing that always pissed me off about it, which is if you had a zip line, you could be at the beach in 9 miles or 11 miles, in which case it would drop like 40 degrees.
Yep.
And as a kid, it always bummed me out because it would be really super hot in the valley, and we take the bus to the beach.
Yep.
And the proclamation was, when we hit the sand, we're not even going to slow down. We're going head first, full Lipton plunge right into the Pacific. And by the time you walk down on the sand, it was like overcast.
Fog.
It's 67 degrees.
In fog.
And you're sitting there with the towel around. And you're going, I'm not going in.
Yeah, no. It was a real bullshit.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. It's like God was punishing us.
Punishing us for going to the beach.
But you ended up going to Cornell, right?
I did. Yeah. It was
pre-law. That's getting from Woodland Hills to Cornell. This is an insane.
She was the first one.
I may be the first and only one. I have to look into that.
So you're very studious. You're very serious about your studies.
I mean, I don't have a lot of studies now.
Right.
But yeah, I was pretty studious. I liked school. I was very academic, and I remember looking at Cornell, like visiting schools and being like, this seems crazy to me. Why would anyone go here? It's cold. It's weird. And then I was like, so I should go here.
Yeah.
It was one of those, like, I almost went to a UC school, almost went to Berkeley, and had a ton of friends going there, and it was like California, and I was like, why? No, let's just do something a little weirder. and like out of the box.
Yeah, but it's a wiring that most people don't possess, and I don't know if you can instill it. It's a little wanderlusty,
yeah,
but I mean,
a little bit.
It's this thing of like, I people all the time just going, why would you do this?
Yeah.
That's not the way to do it. You're going to get hurt, or you're going to get screwed, or you're going to get whatever, and you go, why not? Why wouldn't you do it? Like, but I can't tell people to think that way.
Yeah.
It's just who you are.
But
I don't know.
Weird,
did your parents instill it?
Not really, I don't think.
It can't be instilled.
Yeah, I don't think so. No, my mom is not a risk taker, like, in any sense. But again, like, I'm not going to jump out of an airplane. Like, that kind of thing, bungee jump, like, not interested. But
right.
Something like that, or performing, or doing something weird, or...
You kind of hedge your bets.
You hedge your bets. I'm not going to... When it comes to, like, throwing my body out of, like, a moving object, not interested.
Come on, I got a van. It's not that big a deal. The door opens super wide.
No, I'll get in the van. I'm not jumping out
of the
van.
There's a box ring by the side of the freeway. They hit it almost every time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We won't go over 40. So you go to Cornell, which is really, Ithaca.
Oh, Ithaca College.
I think it's
Oswego.
Oswego. Sorry.
Totally different place. Totally different place.
We'll host the podcast, okay?
Okay. All right. Yeah, yeah. Oswego. Great.
Cousin
so you were talking
Sal
to somebody who went to University
cousin
of Atlanta.
Sal. Yeah. Went to Oswego.
Okay, great. Great, great.
So you go there and you're thinking about academics and you're thinking about like a serious career.
Yes, yes.
And then what happens?
Well, I did theater in high school. And junior high, and then through college. But I was from LA and really just was like, I would never be an actor. That just seemed like the most irresponsible, ridiculous thing to do, and sort of lame, too. Like, I don't know how you felt growing up, but like, I don't know why I had a lot of judgment about the entertainment business of just being sort of frivolous and weird, and just sort of like, I don't know.
I approach it from a much lower self esteem.
Yeah, no,
approach. Uh-huh. I mean, posture, but my thing was like, we're talking about Robert Urich. Robert Urich lived three or four streets from me, I remember, when he was on Vegas and he was doing all these shows. And that guy was a big, strapping guy with like straight teeth and normal hair and stuff like that. And it was like, that guy gets to do two things. He gets to be on TV and he gets to wear a suede vest over a shirt and get away with it, whereas I could never wear a suede vest and be taken seriously. Mm-hmm. So he can do that and you can't, but maybe you can pick up his garbage or something. I don't know. Clean his pool if you're lucky. But it was more like, that's what those people do and you're not that.
I think maybe part of that too, weirdly, I grew up in LA, but I didn't know people in the entertainment business for the most part. My
you
family's
know
not
Urich?
In it. No, Bobby?
Not at all?
Bobby, you?
You didn't know Bobby at all?
But not at all.
Not at all.
I mean,
I
we dated very briefly.
Do you know Bobby? No.
I was
not
engaged to him for a short period of time.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
So it was that kind of thing where, but there was this little voice inside me that was like, kind of want to do it, kind of want to try it. And then finally, my junior year of college, I did study abroad and I was living in southern Spain and was like, I think I want to try this. And then I came back and told my college counselor, whatever you had to tell somebody, and they literally just looked at me like I was insane, did not respond. And then they were like, so after that, do you think you're going to apply to East Coast schools? Blah, blah, blah. And then I came back home. I moved back home into my parents' house and started like submitting from the back of Backstage West, like the old like trade magazines.
Oh, yeah.
And like did a blind thing to get a commercial agent, like a blind mailing, and just kind of got some jobs. And then I got on a weird kids. I keep saying weird. I don't know why. Kids TV show called Sweet Valley High.
Oh yeah.
Nothing weird about that. It was awesome.
I mean, I don't know. I never saw those books. But like the books you read growing up.
But also seen the TV shows.
Yeah. Really good. Okay. Well, I played Renata Vargas, the Brazilian exchange student.
Not a big deal.
And I had fruit on my head for most of the episodes.
Gay guy. And you spoke in
a
crazy accent. Can you give us their accent?
I don't even think I could possibly give you the accent.
I'll bet you could.
Because it wasn't the right accent, but they didn't care. I was like, do you want me to actually like learn the accent? They were like, nah.
Right.
Okay.
Just sort of something ambiguous.
Yeah. So I think it was kind of Russian sounding. But it was supposed to be Portuguese. I think I was like, you've got to go into the jungle. I don't know. It was something like that.
All right. So the thing I just thought about acting that I never really thought about was everybody has to have this moment, not everybody, no one in my family, but most everybody has to have this moment where they think, could I do this?
Mm-hmm.
Like, and now it's kind of opened up quite a bit because I didn't look like Bob Urich, so I sort of figured I'm not going to do it. But now Zach Galifianakis and everyone else is in. And Jonah Hill's a famous actor. So, you know, there's no kid sitting at home who's 13 who goes, well, I don't look as good as Jonah Hill. You know, they go, I could do this. Or whatever. We don't care. Yeah. You know, there's good looking, there's unattractive. Yeah. It doesn't matter. It's just whatever, male, female, right, black, white, like everybody can just look
it
and
try.
Go, I'll give it
just
a try.
It. Yeah.
And I think with things like sports, by the time you're in your second or third year at Cornell, you wouldn't go, well, I'm going to be a professional basketball player. Like, now I've decided. Kids wrestle with these dreams, but your third year at Cornell, you don't go, I think I will be a professional hockey player. Or
for
whatever,
a lot of reasons.
For a lot of reasons, whatever that is. And you don't get to watch Whitney Houston and go, I'm going to do that instead, because you've tried karaoke and had a folding chair thrown at you. So you're not doing that. But the thing about acting.
Anytime.
Everyone's got to go, could I do it? Maybe I could do it. I don't know that I can't. Like, I got 11-year-old twins. I don't know that I can tell them you can't do this. We'll figure out the sports and the singing. We've already figured out.
not going to happen?
Not going to happen.
Okay.
Right.
Well, this is still open to them, which I hope they don't do.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I feel like the trade-off will be, for them, they could call themselves professional actors and not ever get really paid for it. Back in the day, there used to just be whoever was on Love Boat was whoever was acting, and they got paid.
Well, they also could get on a cool reality show as being your children with a bunch of other children. People that are known. And,
oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like some
14
sort of.
14 and pregnant.
Yeah, yeah. Stuff like that.
Something like
Intervention.
That.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. There's one that I just saw that, because Project Runway just came back on, and there's an ads for some like models, but they're all the kids of famous people that
I
are now.
I heard about that.
And I didn't see it, but it's like just constant ads for nobody's done anything other than they're the children of people who sort of did a couple things.
Do not let Natalia see that.
No, and also she's already watching like the Dance Moms and stuff. Mm. But the other thing is it's got to be rough when, you know, your dad's matinee idol, good looks, and then your mom's a model. You're always going to get the cute, but not what it should be. Like some sort of stew with the two greatest ingredients that you take a ladle full and you go, it's okay.
Need salt.
I feel like that whenever you see the sibling of a really attractive movie star. Like, I think if you're Brad Pitt's brother, even if, like, in a regular world, you're a pretty attractive person.
Right.
You are always, the first impression anyone meets of you is, meh.
Well, what about...
Like, you're like a less good-looking Brad Pitt.
Like, that's all, right. That's the best you'll ever get.
You know? What about, and also, then it you pay it forward because whatever chick slept with you that night has to report that you're Brad Pitt's brother.
Mm-hmm.
Is that Brad Pitt's brother?
That kind of looks like a Brad Kilmer.
Yeah. It looks a lot like Brad Pitt.
Wait a minute.
I'll
That's
blow
not
that
Brad
dude.
Pitt's brother. Huh. Okay, well, in this case, he's actually very attractive.
I think Jerry O'Connell's brother fits into that, where he's a good-looking guy objectively, but you see them next to each other, it's like, oh, there's Jerry O'Connell, a guy who looks kind of like Jerry O'Connell.
I can give you the ultimate.
Yeah?
Patrick Swayze's brother, Don Swayze, hold on. Look, don't take your time, Gary. Looks more like Patrick Swayze than Patrick Swayze did. He looked like Patrick Swayze's on creatine, like a bigger, like a supersized version, an extra.
Okay.
Which was not a more attractive Patrick Swayze,
That's
but
true.
Don Swayze looked more like Patrick Swayze, and then Patrick Swayze looked like Patrick Swayze.
He looked
like when you're opening a deli and you have to draw a picture of Patrick Swayze. Don Swayze is who you would have sit for you.
And then
the
you
artist.
Just shave off, and then you just shave a little bit off all the sides?
It's weird, but you'll see a picture. Gary, hold on. First, let me find that. I'll buy you at least a minute with Smart Mouth. Dual solution oral rinse, only activated mouthwash, clinically proven to instantly eliminate bad breath and prevent it from coming back for 12 full hours. Zinc ion technology, binds the bacteria, forcing it to stop producing the sulfur gas. Dr. Drew, first name is Doctor, loves this stuff. Nothing ruins an intimate moment as quickly as stinky breath. Doesn't matter what you do all day, you're working out or driving a Lamborghini. Doesn't matter. If you got the stinky breath, you are out of luck. Foul breath can ruin social situations, sabotage relationships, or career prospects even. So, smart mouth. Let's get it. It's two parts. It's always good. Always good to have the resin and the catalyst. That makes the best and most effective products. And you get smart mouth at smartmouth.com. Or you can find it at Walmart, Target, Walgreens, CVS, wherever you shop. Just make sure you check it out at Smart Mouth. All right, do we have Don Swayze? We're still waiting.
God, I'm captivated. It's pretty amazing.
You'll be blown away. Your life will be changed forever.
Oh, my God, I can't wait. If it's anything less than mind-blowing, I'm walking out.
I'm sorry, the name of the show, Wednesdays, 10 o'clock on True TV. I was watching an episode before I came. Oh, I was watching, actually, the trailer before I came in, and I thought, you must have total autonomy on this. Somebody,
pretty
this
close.
This is, I can always tell what projects look like when people get out of the way versus everybody putting their stink and their 2 cents and their
pulling back, and it just gets,
you have all these things where everybody's involved and it's like, Nancy Tellum didn't get that joke. And I'm like, that's my favorite joke. Yeah, but she's never heard of Burning Man. Well, can you tell Nancy that we're going to keep? No, we can't tell. Just pull that joke just for Nancy and then it'll feel like she's being heard. And it's like, okay, now we don't have whatever it is.
There's Don.
Yeah.
That's the perfect example of what I'm talking
about. He's more Swayze than Patrick Swayze. He looks like an evil Patrick Swayze.
He looks like an evil. And that's the only thing anyone's going to ever think of him his whole life.
But he looks more like Patrick. Now, you think if you
he's
look
in the
more,
green room right now, actually,
if he looked more like Brad Pitt than Brad Pitt, you'd be an 11.
But right. That never happens.
It never happens.
Nobody looks more like
Don Swayze looks more like Patrick Swayze than Patrick Swayze.
But not in a good way.
No, it's never in a good way.
Yeah.
I wish I had.
It's just a constant disappointment to people your whole life.
You know what? I wish I knew I was going to be a celebrity. I would have forced my kids to have a fat younger brother so he could go through life and do something that was super like, what do? String beads. Oh, wow.
Wow.
That sounds.
Professionally?
There's not much of an amateur circuit. I mean, some of the stuff I do, it's not all the things when you don't have a door. That you don't really need in between two rooms.
Yeah, right.
I also do the beads that go in the car seats that make people's back feel better.
Yeah, sure.
I do those beads. I'll do like a amber beads if like a proud woman of color wants to wear those orientation or something.
Some weird placemats that people don't buy but they're on the shelves.
Yeah, like if you need your food to roll around, like that weird placemat. I sort of stepped up specialized from that into the car seating stuff because you have to work with wire with that.
I'm
pretty much nylon
cord. It's the Lord's work.
Yeah. Oh, Adam, he's the king of podcasting. See, I don't feel like my sister's sufficiently tortured, you know?
Got it.
You know what I mean?
She lives too normal of a life.
I need a dude. I would make sure that he was always carrying around an extra 60 pounds and just sort of people shaking their head. And then I would look better.
We cut to Thanksgiving and he shows up with like a beard. You're like, hey, what's
I don't remember okaying that. Yeah. Is there an email I've missed or something?
Well, I thought it looked good.
Yeah, it's going to the entry hall. I keep an extra razor there.
Right now?
Before Ma gets here.
We're sitting down for dinner.
Yeah, we need to look the same. And by the way, speaking of dinner, looks like you're only got me by about 40 pounds. Well, you need to pack it on.
I am very hungry.
Have some more stuffing.
Okay.
And don't worry about it getting stuck in your beard because you're not going to have one. Now get rid of it, Chet. And let's go. Max now. All right? And by the way, these beads you gave me, when I didn't really want to commit to a door between these two rooms, they're starting to wear out.
I worked like hell on those beads.
They're not wearing like normal beads. The kids are too embarrassed to say anything.
It's the same thing every Thanksgiving.
Yeah, and by the way, that thing you gave me for my car seat.
Oh, how'd you like it?
Not help my lumbar at all.
Well, you're using it wrong.
At all. Oh, what happened to my plate? I don't know. It just rolled off the table. On that creeper you gave me for a placemat.
It's a place. Turn it sideways. You're using it wrong.
Sorry, Andrew.
Is how that would go.
I just figured you were rolling the extra food over to him.
so he could pack on more weight to make you look better.
You're right. See, she went to the Groundlings.
Yeah.
Andrea went to the ground. So what you're doing, you have autonomy.
I mean, obviously not full autonomy, but pretty autonomous. Yeah. No studio. So it's just me and my showrunner, Joey Slayman, woman named Joey, and my producers, and right to the network, right to the head of the network. And really, they were like, we love your sensibility. This is what we want to do. And they built a trust pretty quickly with us, and they never told us no. Anything, we never got a full no. And anytime there was a little bit of a no, we'd have a conversation, be like, this is why, this is why. True TV's been unbelievable to work with. They let us do the marketing stuff. They let us pick what, like, the trailers will be. I mean, it's a lot of work.
Yes.
Because of it, because I am in all the writing and in every scene.
You have
and then
to do
in
it.
Every drop of every frame of the edit. But it's such a difference. It's like a chef, if you had seven chefs making one dish every time someone was cooking, the food would be shit. Like, that's why.
Oh, and you just bring up the trailers. Like, they normally just have a whole, you know, NBC just has a whole PR department. Mm-hmm. They put together stuff, and they put it out there. And they'll put together, like, outdoor campaigns that are just horrible.
Yeah.
And they don't even ask. Like, I remember poor Jimmy Kimmel got, like, do you Jimmy tonight or something? Like, he was passing by these billboards going, this is lame. What is this?
That
who thought of this?
That campaign went for a year. Oh, no, it was one and
why did you do this? Like,
To have the control over that is so big. And they have a great marketing team, and some of the ideas are good, some of the ideas are bad. But, like, you're able to go, like, that's not really in line with this is.
The problem is you make a great product, and the product's really strong. But the person who's going to put together the sampler, and we're getting back to the chef over here, is going to put together the summer sausage sampler to stand in front of your Hickory Farm, had their taste buds removed with a soldering iron. So they're going to, you're making this great concoction and compote over there and sausage. You're cooking the lights out over there in the kitchen. This person with no taste buds goes, I'll take this one. I'll take this one. I'll take that one. And you're like, we're throwing those away. And next thing you know, they're standing out front and people are getting a hit and they're going, not that. And they keep walking because what are they supposed to do? They're just getting a hit. So it's super important to see who's on that, and they can't, because that's just a guy with an editor and whatever, and it's not funny, and it's rhythmically wrong.
Or it's out of context, where you're like, nobody even knows who that person is, we'd find a lot, like, it was all setups, but no punchline, you know what I mean? Or punchlines with no setups, and you're like, well, actually, this has a rhythm and thing.
It can't be done.
Yeah, and so I think that's a big part of it. But really, it was like they let us do the show we wanted to do. That was sort of their promise, and they stuck to it. And you can tell when people get to do that.
Oh, you can always tell. Like, it's like Curb Your Enthusiasm. Yeah. You can tell they're just letting Larry David do what he wants to do.
Right, and it's funny you should say that, because I was thinking that this show is so freaking funny, by the way.
Thank you very much.
It feels like
I'm happy you guys have seen some of it.
Great.
You never know.
It's like a mashup between, it's like the best of The League and the best of Curb Your Enthusiasm, but from a woman's perspective, but not like a kind of nutty woman.
Yeah. I mean, well, it's kind of me. I mean, it's a slightly exaggerated version of me, but not that exaggerated. But it really was just like, in reaction to a bunch of really harried mom roles that just kept coming my way and coming my way. And I was like, these are terrible. Like, why is every woman, as soon as she becomes a mom on TV, harried, rolling her eyes, sexless, not funny, always having to do the right thing, or being the worst mom in the world, which is funny, but like, can't you, like, I'm not that way. None of my friends are that way. I'm funny. I got funny real stories that I want to whatever, and just wanted to make something more nuanced and
I think
the levels.
When I was watching, and you're talking about teabagging
with my mother, that was a real conversation where she did call me and very casually was like, I was listening to Howard Stern and I have a question. What is teabagging? And I was like, okay. And she goes, I think I know what it is, but I just want to be sure.
I want to hear it from you.
She's a dental hygienist, and she doesn't know, because I feel like done a lot of repairing. I would like to be that dentist.
Repairing?
Well,
what kind of
I do it very aggressively. I'm very aggressive. Oh, and over years.
Like a bad bite. Covered in some sort of iron.
All right, let me say something. My dad's not a dentist. I know your dad is. when one grinds their teeth in one's sleep, it takes years for it to have the effects.
And when
aggressively teabags, as I do,
over
the course of years, thousands of dunks of the bag, yes, there will be some damage.
Erosion, I have heavy discoloration, but this is all concealer.
Wait a minute.
Where are the teabags going? On your eyes?
Where do you put teabags?
Where do you get teabags?
Clearly you did not watch this episode.
I watched the first episode.
Okay. Oh boy. Well,
wait, I don't want to give it away.
I
think most people know.
Gina,
teabagging is
Gina.
But I like that you thought it was
precious,
in your eye sockets.
Precious Gina.
That's what I've been told.
Sweet
Gina, those are Arabian
goggles. Where do the teabags go?
Those are Arabian goggles.
Yeah, that's a whole different thing.
A teabag is when a man places his testicles in your mouth up and down.
I thought it was
in a teabagging.
Oh, I see. So steeping it.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. This is good. So I need to binge watch instead of just watch the first one.
Let's cool off with a diet felch. Gary, could you bring in one of those? Gina says she's been craving that for a while.
I couldn't let that one go because Gina was suddenly like, this is why I have concealer under my eyes. And I was like, where is she?
Yeah, I thought that was a teabag my whole life.
Everything's a lie.
You and Barbara Walters
in the mug.
Are the only two, and Andrea's mom back 3 years ago.
Arabian goggles, you say?
Couple things.
So I've been led to believe.
So a couple things.
Yeah.
My grandmother asked me what a rim job was.
There you go.
At the dinner table. Mm-hmm. With others at the dinner table as well. So, she put it out to the table.
Right.
What is a rim job? Because she'd heard about the rim jobs. That's when a guy tells a corny joke and the drummer uses the stick to just clip the end of the snare.
Yeah.
Gina, what a great world you live in. I was watching.
Did you volunteer as tribute?
He doesn't get that reference. That's funny.
Yeah, that's funny.
What, huh?
Hunger Games.
Oh, Hunger Games. I don't watch it. Yeah. All right. So I did not say what it was, even though I knew, because I just didn't feel
I wanted out myself.
His younger sister
volunteered.
I knew
what it was.
Jumped in the way.
But that scene rang true, but it's the best because your mom actually did this, right?
Almost everything on the entire season is from a kernel of truth. Like in the pilot, my daughter. I did find out that her friend, and growing up in the Valley, and I don't know if you live in the Valley now.
Oh,
it's probably quite common.
It's a porn mom in our school. Mm-hmm. She had changed her name in our preschool, and she is working in a different profession. And I found out I'm playing poker, not related to the school. This guy was like, oh, this woman I work with, I just found out she used to be this anal porn star. Mm. And he said her name, and I was like, wait, what? I was like, does she have two kids? And he was like, yeah. And I was like, holy fuck, that's my daughter's friend's mom.
But how would she go by that name?
She had a different name. He said her real name now.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't say the porn name.
Because she's back in like the regular job market.
She had changed her name or whatever. And so I was Wait, what? I mean, immediately Googled. Obviously, this woman was like, I'm not seeing much of her face, but that is her.
Yeah.
And then I knew for like a year and a half, and I kept it a secret, but became obsessed with her butthole.
Yeah.
To a level that was not healthy. Right.
Yeah.
Not because I judged. I just was like, what shape are we in? Like, what are we dealing with?
Prolapsing.
Yeah.
And she had a handicap placard for a short period of time in her car. And I was convinced her butthole had fallen out because that has happened.
Was it the blue one, the red one, or the brown one? Because that would indicate.
Her butthole?
No, the handicap placard.
There's a brown one?
There's a
blue one. Well, the blue ones were when you work with a Puerto Rican, right?
Yeah. Is that not obvious?
Sorry. It's old man show joke, but
I don't remember the color of her handicap placard. Okay. But I do not. To this day, I don't know what condition it was in. But someone in my family's butthole fell out, so I was like, I know that that's a thing from trauma in the area. And so,
oh, really?
Yeah,
one of our old coworkers' butthole fell out.
Really?
Yes,
a
prolapsed rectum, and they fix it real easy.
Listen, I know all about it, but I don't know this story.
I thought he said it on the air.
Oh boy, is this another teabag?
It could be. Bonaducci was like weightlifting.
Sounds like the kind of. But see, Danny may say that anyway, which is weird.
Yeah. That could be a hernia too, isn't that another?
Well, he said he had to wear a diaper afterwards.
I don't know if that confirmed or denied.
Yeah.
Right. Anyway, I don't know why.
It's a great show.
It's real stories, yes.
All right. Let's do a little bit of news, Gina Grad, shall we?
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gina Grad. Breaking viral, all those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Eat news with Gina, Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, CNN reports that more than a dozen protesters were arrested Sunday during confrontations that broke out amid largely peaceful protests in Berkeley, California. It was a rally against hate. It was organized to protest a planned anti-Marxist gathering in the Bay Area city, home of the University of California, Berkeley. Even though the right-wing gathering was canceled, thousands of protesters from both the left and the right still showed up. The crowd was orderly but robust, they say, with protesters chanting, "No Trump, no KKK. No fascist USA." Skirmishes occurred when, quote, several dozen left-wing protesters surrounded and shouted at a handful of right-wing demonstrators.
Oh, I had a thought.
Yeah.
There's too much coffee going on out in the world. There's too many energy drinks and too much coffee.
Okay.
We need to get people chasing the dragon.
Right.
Like, they need to be slamming heroin.
Okay. They're going to say like chamomile tea, but you don't want to be bothered
with. I don't want to get the tea bags out again.
No, but please.
You blind everyone.
People have way too much energy. So every time I see this, I'm like, what are we doing? And then what are you yelling? And then who are you converting? And I even see the signs, and I think that's too much. Although I do love bad TV shows and movies where they clearly give actor signs or whatever. But just doing the sign, I don't think I could do the sign
at home.
But
you know,
like,
most people aren't
energy.
Doing their own signs.
Oh,
like
farmed out.
They're farmed out. Like if you go do like a rally or something, there is the group of people who sort of put the rally together. They will do the
majority
of the signs in different pens and different this and different things. And then they hand it out.
I may be in now. But yeah. I think people are getting jacked up on too much coffee and too much Monster energy drink. Like people are walking around. I see people holding like 16-ounce Red Bull diets, you know, and everything. They're just walking everywhere, just sucking on vats of caffeine. I think you could draw a straight line between everyone taking it to the streets. So I feel it's just way too big a calorie burn for me. Now, my feeling is not that Nazis are good. It's just that
I'm not scared to go controversial.
Most folk know it, and they don't need me out on the corner screaming.
Reminding them.
I feel like they know it.
Yeah.
Well, I have a question. How many people, because I feel like this news thing got a lot of play, but it was like a large protest of left, I hate when called left wing, and then a very small amount of right wing people
who were overpowering.
But they get the same amount of coverage as if it's an equal playing field of people that showed up.
Well, Nazis are sexier than hippies.
Well,
that is true.
The thing about
Nazis,
Nazis, you cannot think like a sort of a normally wired human being. And legitimately have the KKK or Nazi or whatever. You can't really have those thoughts. So we're going to be, wherever you go, you have to be outnumbered as long as there's human beings. Because human beings who are wired, like we're all wired, are not wired to put people in ovens.
But the press coverage makes it sound
that's
what I'm talking about. It gives equal opportunity. Mm-hmm. That's what is making me insane. It's like you got to give equal time. First of all, you don't need to give any time. But why is it equal time to such a small percentage of the people
in
the press?
And I don't see what I don't like is that, and we know what we're doing, Nazis and whoever these hate groups are, they don't really comprise or represent really almost anything. And yet, if my kids are watching TV, it seems like, and there's a math. There's a math that kids can't do, and there's a math that dumb people can't do, and sadly, alarmists can't do, which is when I was a kid. Did I say I grew up in the San Fernando Valley?
Yeah.
In North Omega. Anyway,
you mentioned it.
The Night Stalker was like around.
Yeah. Huge.
And it was scaring everybody.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And it was like, this guy's just crawling windows and killing people. The part where the guy kills his kids, kills his wife, and then commits suicide, more power to him. Like, I'm a fan. But when you're just crawling into random people's windows and trying it, and I could remember sleeping on my grandparents' sofa, staring at the big bank of windows, going, there's a 50-50 chance this guy may. Now, there's not a 50-50 chance. There's not a 1% chance. There's not a 0.001% chance. It keeps going. Mm-hmm. But when you're 7 or you're 10 or you're watching the news or you're dumb or you're an alarmist or you're whatever, Then you're just sucking on that Starbucks, watching the evening news, going, my God, we're living in a nation filled with white supremacists and Nazis. I think it's irresponsible, the news, and I know irresponsible is a word we can't use anymore, but I hate the fact that they're out promoting this all the time. This is a fringe group of nut jobs
but
that deserves no
right in general. Like, it started getting all this press right after the election of this fringe weirdo group that had, like, very few followers that now is talking
in the limelight.
In the limelight constantly.
Yeah.
Right. But I brought up killer bees, it's like they're trying to convince us that we were going to get hit by killer bees, and it's like, we're not. But it's like, are you telling me killer bees don't exist? No. Are you telling me that you'd be happy if your kids weren't consumed by killer bees? No. But I'm going to stop at the part where I have to look over my shoulder before I walk to the mailbox.
I spent so much of my childhood growing up in the Valley being so terrified of the Night Stalker and being kidnapped. Like, such a amount
insane
of my childhood for such a small percent. Like, not a percentage that ever anything's going to happen to you. And it was literally like a daily fear. Like,
my
panic.
My parents were obsessed that I wouldn't get kidnapped. They were.
What?
They put a little twist on it. They're hoping every day that someone would snatch me up in a van. No, I thought statistically, if
it's like 1 in 3,
if the Night Stalker's coming after me, he'll probably get hit by killer bees, and that'll nullify the situation. I'll just have to escape the killer bees while he's being consumed by the bees.
50-50 chance.
Well, at least 13 people were arrested on charges ranging from assault with a deadly weapon to violations of the city code. I believe we have some video of one of the protesters getting arrested, and something tells me you're not going to be a fan.
He's a service animal. I love it. Man, we put an M80 up his ass and we gave him a Viking funeral, so sorry about that. She needs her service animal. Good, lock him up, too.
I need my service animal. I need my service animal.
Get back.
I need my fucking service animal.
I wish she was my upstairs neighbor and I lived in an apartment in Valley Village once again. God damn. See, what I'm saying is, first off, you don't need your fucking service animal, bitch. You need psychiatrists. We created monsters. She shouldn't have a service animal. You shouldn't be depending on your service animal. You shouldn't, I can't fly without a, then you can't fly. Right. You guys, maybe. Oh, Dawson, you got a mashup with that. Okay.
Yeah, these things are always more palatable when they're juxtaposed against a soft hit. Yeah.
All right, let's hear it. No, I had that.
This is nice. So far, so good.
Feeling good so far.
Great.
A little less great. Mm-hmm. Going back.
I want you to be with me.
Back.
It all came so easy. All the loving you gave me. The feelings we shared.
And I still can remember
how you touched me so tender. You told me you care.
We had a once in a lifetime.
Fuck you, kids.
I just couldn't see it until it was gone.
My fucking service animal.
The second once in a lifetime. Maybe
my service animal.
But I swear from now on. If ever you're in my arms again, this time I'll love you forever.
Fuck you,
kid.
I see your side better now.
Yeah.
I like you to be with me.
People always duets.
I was still with you. I still love you so.
This should be the next duet karaoke you guys do.
Oh, yeah. Oh, someone's got their Halloween costume already set. Gina, grab. Uh-huh.
Service animal.
Second once in a lifetime.
bad for their parents. Like, is that Deborah? I'm serious. So she shaved her head.
I just hope Deborah like saw that later and was like, "Oof, ooh, I'm sorry." Oh,
all right.
Maybe not my best.
Thank you, Dawson. That was awesome. Deborah was awesome. Jesus Christ.
Deborah was awesome.
We're just. She shouldn't have a service animal. Nobody should have a service animal.
No.
We're creating. We are doing the worst thing you can do to kids. We're doing to adults who are remaining adolescent, which is we're telling them it's a scary place and everyone's gunning for you and you got a target on your back. You need a service animal to get through the day. And there's a bunch of Nazis that are coming to take your service animal. And now we've freaked everyone the fuck out. And when I say to everyone all the time, like, just get on with it. Just get on with it. Yeah, but what about racism? Like, it exists. To a very small degree, but it exists. But what are you going to do? Get on. Just get on with it because you'll drive your... It's the, you know, what's in the hot dog thing. You'll ruin dinner.
Yeah.
Just get going. Just teabag that hot dog, ladies.
Whoa.
Put some concealer,
I can.
Put some concealer on your eyes and move forward.
That's right. That is
there
right.
There is an episode of my show that we talk about Nazis, and when I wrote it, did not think that it would be controversial or relatively news-related. Didn't think in a million years Nazis were going to be in the news as the show was coming out.
Yeah, it's crazy,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, we had a racist, my daughter went through a racist period, and that was an episode.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next one was Nazis, and it was right around when it was like racism. And I was like, I didn't realize I was doing like a hot topic political show.
So Asian sportscaster Robert Lee gets removed from doing play-by-play
because
of Robert E. Lee. Are you afraid they're going to be like, I don't know if we can air this? Nice.
That's why. It's called autonomy. All right, let's bring it home.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news. Well, Nazis are sexier than hippies.
Gina Grad!
That was the news with Gina Grad.
Let me tell you about LifeLock. Did you know your phone could be spying on you? Malicious malware called Sonic Spy has been found in over 1,000 apps. It can record your calls, hijack your phone's camera. Please, people, the future is here. We need LifeLock. Criminals can make phone calls, send texts, steal your money. I mean, let's get some identity theft protection, shall we? Somebody's identity is stolen every 2 seconds in ways you may not detect if you're only monitoring your credit. Thieves can sell your information to the dark web and get online payday loans in your name. Don't be a statistic. Get LifeLock. It detects a wide range of identity threats. If there's a problem, their U.S.-based identity restoration specialist will work to fix it. They're the best. I have it. Wife has it. Kids have it. I think even Philly Cheesesteak, the lab, has it. It is LifeLock. Dawson.
No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses. LifeLock can uncover threats you might miss. Go to LifeLock.com and call 1-800-LIFELOCK. Use promo code Adam. That's Adam for 10% off your LifeLock membership. Save 10% now with promo code Adam. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK or visit LifeLock.com.
True, T-R-U, TrueTV.com is where you go. I'm Sorry is the name of the very funny show. Wednesdays, 10 o'clock on True TV. Me doing my one-man show, Not Taco Bell Material, starting in Chicago, Park West. That'll be September 23rd, and then Minneapolis Music Hall, October 13th, and then Nashville Polk Theater. That'll be October 14th. Go to AdamCarolla.com for whatever you want. And check out the new Podcast One app and the VR content and all that good stuff we have over there. And merch, man. We got the Buck Slips. Got my Buck Slips back. They're back. So go to AdamCarolla.com for all that. Go to Corolla Drinks. Say hi to Lynette. We got some events coming up. And Andrea, this has been awesome. Come back anytime you like.
Thank you, guys. It was super fun.
And until next time, Sam Kroll for Andrea Savage, Gina Grad, and Bald Brian Saint. Mahalo.
You've got to go into the jungle.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on the Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow Ace on the Twitter at Adam Carolla. Leave us a message if you like. The phone number is 888-634-1744. Gina Grad is on the radio weekday mornings at 100.3 The Sound in Los Angeles, California. For tickets and info on all the live podcasts, including the Carolla Cruise this November and Mangree events, books, movies, and more, go to AdamCarolla.com.